our last broadcast, we began a journey, a very specific journey, to itemize and clarify the meaning of each spiritual gift in the New Testament. We covered four basic gifts last time, and we're going to cover seven more this time. Are you ready? Start your engines, get your ears warmed up, because today my prayer is you're going to hear a gift described and realize, bang, that's me. So stay with me.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram, senior pastor of Venture Christian Church in Los Gatos, California. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip will cover a lot of territory, important territory, about developing your spiritual gift. Now, if you're driving or in a spot where you can't take notes, no worries. We've made it easy for you to hear today's broadcast again whenever it's convenient. Jump online to livingontheedge.org and click on the Listen Now button there on our homepage. You'll find today's broadcast, other messages in this series, and Chip's free message notes. Now, let's join Chip for part two of his message, How to Develop Your Spiritual Gift for Kingdom Impact.
The gift of teaching, the divine enablement to understand and give detailed explanation of biblical truth. It's the ability to search out and validate truth which has been presented. Notice this is a motivational gift, but it's also a ministry gift. And so we won't go into a lot of explanation other than when I think of this one, especially in this country, if you listen on the radio to what I think are some really quality teachers, if you listen carefully, their ministry gift is teaching, but they teach out of different motivational gifts. For example, when I hear Chuck Swindoll, I can tell you right now, his primary gift is probably exhorter. Don't you hear him? Even as he talks, he puts his arm around you and gives you very specific, practical ways to teach. I think of another fellow on the West Coast who is very clear, very accurate, but he's very dogmatic. This is the way it is. I mean, there's not a gray area when he teaches. I'll guarantee he teaches out of the gift of prophecy. And so you can listen to different people teach, and you need to realize maybe you have a ministry gift you want to teach, but you think, well, I don't see myself as a teacher. Well, maybe you're going to teach out of a different gift. Miracles. 1 Corinthians 12, 10 and 28, it's the ability to serve as an instrument through which God accomplishes acts that manifest supernatural power. Miracles bear witness to the presence of God and the truth of his proclaimed word and appear to occur most frequently in association with missionary activity. The gospel message carries its own authority, but God sometimes graciously uses miracles to authenticate and open doors for the proclamation of forgiveness and life in Christ. God, on occasion, and it seems especially overseas where the need for authentication and verification is greater, he'll do miracles. He'll choose to go outside the bounds of what we call natural laws and do a miracle. Notice healing, 1 Corinthians 12, 9, 28, and then 30. It's the ability to serve as a human instrument through which God cures illnesses and restores health. The possessor of this gift is not the source, but the vessel who can heal only those diseases the Lord chooses to heal. I mean, we all know there's times where people are healed and times when they're not. This spiritual gift should not be confused with signs and wonders performed by Jesus and the apostles, and it should not be discredited because of the abuses of grandstanding and faith healers. God chooses to heal, he does it in response to what he's doing in people's lives. And there are times where that's his manifestation, to bring glory and honor to himself. Administration/leadership. This word, different from the word in leadership, appears only once in the New Testament and is used outside of Scripture for the helmsman who steers a ship to its destination. This suggests that the spiritual gift of administration is the ability to steer a church or Christian organization toward the fulfillment of its goals by managing its affairs and implementing necessary plans. A person may have the gift of leadership without the gift of administration. I am a living example of this. The gift of administration is the enablement to understand what an organization needs to run efficiently and effectively, and then the spiritual ability to plan, execute, achieve, and produce the organizational's ability to work through people to accomplish its God-given goals. Gift of administration. The gift of leadership often asks the what question. What is it we need to do? The gift of administration answers, how do we need to do it? And what do we need to do to get there? The gift of wisdom, it's the ability to apply the principles of God's word in a practical way to specific situations and then to recommend the best course of action at the best time. The exercise of this gift skillfully distills insight and discernment into excellent advice. These are people that are saturated in the scriptures. They have a gift of wisdom. There is one thing to know the Bible. It's another thing to see the chaos and problems and struggles in life or problems. It is the gift of wisdom that takes the truth and the insight of God's word, the struggles, challenges, problems, or opportunities, and bring these things together and to understand how this word and insight given by the Holy Spirit can address out of this truth those situations. The gift of wisdom. Knowledge, the ability to discover and analyze and systemize truth for the benefit of others. Just amazing knowledge. With this gift, one speaks with understanding and penetration. But the word of knowledge can also involve supernatural perception and discernment for the purpose of ministering to others. This is when God reveals something to someone that they couldn't know in a natural way. A word of knowledge may be something God does now and then, but you always check it with Scripture. But I would say if you ever get what I call a good nudge, a nudge to love someone, care, be sacrificial, something that lifts someone up and doesn't bring attention to yourself, something that means a sacrifice, Christ's name is honored, it's probably not from you. That's a pretty good test that it's probably from the Lord. A gift of faith, the ability to have a vision for what God wants done and to believe confidently that will be accomplished in spite of circumstances and appearance to the contrary. The gift of faith transforms vision into reality. But by the way, notice in those three columns, when someone teaches or preaches motivationally here out of a ministry gift, it could be pastor, teacher, or prophet, as people are listening often, then the gift of faith, bang, oh, I get it. There's a lady listening on the radio. She just visited the church where I'm getting to teach now. And it was about 6 months ago. She was listening. And at the very end, we prayed, you need to believe God. God is sovereign. God is big. You need to believe him. And it's a long story. Her name is Brooke. She brought not only her brother, her husband, her sister-in-law, all these witnesses. And she said, nothing's ever happened like this. I was listening to you on the radio. And at the very end, it was on prayer. And you said, you need to believe God. You need to ask him and believe that the God is not the God of the past, that he answers prayer, great ones today. And she talked about this long illness and she could only take about 6 breaths and they couldn't find a cure and she had to quit her job and she was home and going, you know, couldn't even get up and move around. And she said, I heard that, and it was like God gave me faith to believe. I prayed. I went to the doctor the next day. All my symptoms were gone. Now, are we in a healing ministry? Are you kidding me? How that happened? I don't have a clue. It's a manifestation. See, when you are using your motivational gift in the ministry he's called you to, when you minister, someone will get a word of wisdom. This is what to do. Or knowledge about, oh, you mean you're supposed to give the first portion of your money to God? I didn't know that. And get your priorities aligned? Yeah. Or someone gets a word of knowledge. This is what I want you to do. Or someone gets, like in this case, a manifestation. She was healed. Can't God do whatever? See, I think when we studied all these gifts, we divide camps. This group believes these are this way. This group believes these are that way. This group gets over enamored with these and da-da-da. I think we miss the point. I think you have a grace gift. And I think you're a paintbrush in the hand of God. And I think you focus on the left column. What are you motivated to do? And then you discern the outlets of the ministry and you leave the right column up to how God wants to work. Gift of faith. Distinguishing of spirits or discernment, 1 Corinthians 12:10. It's the ability to discern the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. With this gift, one may distinguish reality versus counterfeits, the divine versus the demonic, and true versus false teaching, in some cases, spiritual versus carnal motives. God, as you soak your mind in the scripture, as you're doing what he wants you to do, will give some people ability to discern. When you're in a group and need to make big decisions for a ministry, for a board, for a church, for a family, you want this gift in the room. Discernment. Is this from God? When you are, in our case, when you're hiring people and trying to align people for the right thing, when you partner with other ministries, I want to look into the eye. Is this ministry doing the right thing for the right reason with the right motives? Will they be good stewards of our content and our money? You want someone in the room with the gift of discernment. And these people, you've had it. Have you ever had that little, everything seems right, but you had that little something down deep in your gut that, you know, there's something smells here, but I can't put my finger on it. And then you find out later it really stunk and you cannot put your finger on it. You can put your whole hand on it. Often that may be God teaching you or wanting to find, hey, there's some discernment here. Check that out. Check that out. Here, the gift of tongues. It's the ability to receive and impart spiritual message in a language the recipient has never learned, for other members of the body to be edified. This message must be interpreted either by the recipient or by another person with the gift of interpretation. Now, this is one that could take people lots of directions. The word tongues, glossolalia, it's used also as a dialect in Acts 2. It is a known language. You know, French, Swahili, some known language. The second thing is that much of the teaching and the confusion about tongues is taking tongues, this gift, and then mixing it with spiritual growth or holiness or spiritual power. The gift of tongues is a known language. The gift of tongues doesn't have anything to do with spiritual growth or sanctification. It is a gift of speaking a language you've never known. And of course, then the gift of interpretation is someone is speaking French or Swahili, and for some reason, God is going to supernaturally intervene and give you understanding to translate a language that you haven't known. Now, can God do this? Has it happened in New Tribe missions and some other situations? Sure. Did he do it in the early church as a sign for unbelievers? There's a whole teaching on tongues. Our purpose is, let's define what they are. With that, are you ready? Take a deep breath. Whew, I did talk fast. If you're going to develop your spiritual gift, one, you got to get clear, really clear about the paradigm and how it works. Second, you need to understand, I think, a quick definition. And hopefully, you know, there's more material and a lot that can go under that. But I wanted to give you a quick snapshot of each gift so you could at least say, you know what? Now I can do a little more research on my own. But the third thing we need to do to develop your spiritual gift, it demands you exercise them by involvement. And let me give you four areas of involvement, and then we'll really develop these as we continue. First of all, involvement in people's lives and needs. If you really want to develop your spiritual gift, everything we've done so far has been cognitive, hasn't it? I mean, this is like watching videos on swimming, right? This is like, okay, now we've learned this is the freestyle, this is the backstroke, this is the breaststroke. And you know what? We have people that have videos on swimming and they got books on swimming. What do we know? You don't get wet, you don't learn to swim. Spiritual gifts are about loving people. You have to get involved in people's lives. What's that mean? It means ministry. And even if you're not sure, you know, even if you don't know, you don't have to sign up for like 5 years or like until Jesus comes back. Go to your church or find a ministry and say, you know something, I'm not sure what my gifts are, but I'll give you 3 months in this area. At the end of 3 months, I'm going to pray, evaluate, and then you need to know I have permission to step out of that ministry. But you got to get involved in people's lives and needs. The second level of involvement is a small group community. A small group community. You know, authentic relationships. The gifts are what? They're designed so that the presence of Christ and the power of Christ and the love of Christ that resides in you through your gift and through the Spirit as he works through the Word in you touches other people. That can't happen if your, quote, Christian experience is, yeah, I go to church on Sunday. I sit in row 73. I listen to that guy. He's really good. Listen, listen, listen. Sing, sing, sing. Leave, leave, leave. Then I come back next week. Listen, listen, listen. Sing, sing, sing. Leave, leave, leave. You know, I just don't understand why I don't have joy in my life. I just don't understand why God isn't using me. You have to be in some community where people know you, you know them, you understand one another, you share hearts, you're vulnerable increasingly, or you know what? You'll never know. The people that will recognize your gift will be people who love you, who see you in the context of community and ministry. The third level of involvement is ongoing training and education. Think of a gift as like a muscle. God gives you the gift of the muscle, but there's little muscles, medium-sized muscles, and big muscles. And like any gift, like a muscle, how does a muscle get stronger and better? By practice. So you need to have ongoing training and ongoing education, time, practice, maturity, feedback, training. Now, I mean, if you have the gift of teaching, you know how you develop it? You teach, you read, you study. I've gone for years. I'm almost never in my car where I'm not listening sometime in the week to teaching tapes of great teachers that have profoundly impacted my life. And the first thing as I'm in my car, it's like, wow, God, how do you want me to respond? And then the next is, what makes this guy so good? What is it about how he shares or what he shares or his preparation or his vulnerability or how he delivers it? God, I want to get better. And the only way I'm going to develop my gift is I want to learn from other people. And so you dig in and you figure out, you read books, you go to training, you do whatever it takes because your gift is serious business, right? It is to God. It is to the church. Final thing is regular risk-taking opportunities. Regular risk-taking. You can read books. You can listen to these tapes. You can look at all these charts. You can go for coffee and say to others, you know, I think mine is either probably teaching or exhortation, but I'm not sure. Why don't we sit around and talk over coffee about what we might be someday, somehow, some way? I'll tell you what. After you see what we see, you need to go, okay, I'm really nervous, I'm really scared. What if I fail? I'm really insecure like everybody else in the whole world. Okay, but I think I got this gift, might not have this gift, people might not think. Woo! And jump in the water. You just got to flat jump in the water and say, I don't know what gift for sure I have. I've done some study, but I'm going to jump in the water of life and people and need and ministry, and I'm scared to death. Oh, God, help me. And just start loving people and start doing what you feel most passionate about doing. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll not only get wet, you'll get strong. You'll have joy. People will get loved. And I mean, you will no longer be one of those Christians who sit, sing, leave. You will be a paintbrush in the hand of the master, dipping into the multicolors of grace. And in your spiritual lineage, you see people's lives. This is the before, this is the after, and you will be a part of God's extreme makeover. And I'm telling you, there's not enough letters behind your name. There's not enough zeros at the end of your portfolio that can ever match the joy and the fulfillment that comes with doing what God made you to do, to walk in the good works that he preordained just for you.
Chip will be back in just a minute. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today, How to Develop Your Spiritual Gift for Kingdom Impact, is from his series, Your Divine Design, How to Discover, Develop, and Deploy Your Spiritual Gifts. If you've been a listener to Living on the Edge for any length of time, you know that we're committed to helping Christians really live like Christians. And this series, Your Divine Design, will help you take one of the most important steps on your spiritual journey. Knowing your spiritual gift will give you the confidence to put it to use as God intends. If you're ready to experience a greater sense of purpose and satisfaction in your life, then your divine design is for you. Many have found that doing this series with a small group has been really fun and encouraging. For complete ordering and pricing information on all of the Your Divine Design resources, just go to livingontheedge.org. You'll find the small group DVDs and study guides, the CDs, and while this series is on the air, the MP3s are absolutely free. So jump online to livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, we've been talking and people have heard about this match for several days now, but I know that there are people listening who have no idea what a match is or why we do it. Would you fill us in?
I'd love to, Dave, because it is really a significant part of our history. There was a critical moment in the life of Living on the Edge, like every organization, when because of some major transitions, we thought we were going to have to close the doors. And a small group of people came together that really had a heart for the ministry. And they said, we love the ministry, we love the vision, and we want to inspire others. We will match whatever the listeners give up to this number. And that was like 10 years ago. And so our heart has been, you know, give however God leads you, and it gets matched during this time. And what happened was, this has been a pivotal way that God allowed us to go from radio to app to online to create small group material to go international. All I can tell you is what we've done at Living on the Edge and why we've done it has been fueled from the hearts of people who said, you know something, we want to create a match
and another group of people that every single time they have generously given and exceeded it. And as a result of that, we've reached millions of people that we wouldn't have. As a result of that, we will do training in China. As a result of that, we'll dub all of our TV programs in Arabic. As a result of that, we'll stay on the air in 900 stations. So here's my question for you. Would you participate in the match? Would you participate in allowing Living on the Edge to be a conduit of the grace of God to change people's lives? When you give to this match, that's what you're giving to. So just pray about it. Just say, Lord, I'd like to help this group. And whatever number He shows you, you give that and we'll be in great shape. Hey, thanks so much for all that God leads you to do.
Thanks, Chip. Whether you're new to Living on the Edge or a longtime friend of the ministry, we appreciate your partnership with us so much. The mid-year match Chip spoke about has been made possible by a handful of very generous friends of the ministry. So now is a great time to send a gift to support the work here at Living on the Edge. Every gift you give right now makes double the difference. You can donate online at livingontheedge.org or by calling us at 1-888-333-6003. Thank you so much for your partnership with us. Now to wrap up our program, here's Chip with some final thoughts from today's talk.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I talked fast. I crammed more material than is legal into any program in a half-hour slot. But you know something? You can download the notes. You can call in or email and get the DVD. You can become an expert on what each of the spiritual gifts are. And you know what that'll do? Absolutely nothing. You know, we need to learn what the gifts are, but you never really discover yours until you jump in the water. You know, I've been a dad who's taught four of my kids to swim, and there's been one thing they've all had in common. You know, I could show them pictures in a book, and they saw a video on the breaststroke and the backstroke and the butterfly, but I got news for you. All my kids had to get in the water, and usually over their head, before they really learned to swim. How about you? You got to get involved in a ministry. You got to say, I think this is my gift. I'm not sure. It's okay not to be sure. I'm going to jump in and I'm going to say, oh God, what do I enjoy doing? And then I'm going to listen for the confirmation of the Spirit and listen to other people who say, you know something? You know, you may not be great yet, but when you do that, God shows up. So here it is. Jump in the water. I mean, I want you to pray, and then I want you to ask yourself, where in a local church can I say to someone, for 6 weeks, I want to jump in and try out this ministry? Now, I may need to watch and observe for a couple, 3 weeks first, but I want to jump in and get involved in ministry. It may be with kids. It may be with youth. It could be evangelism. It could be teaching. I don't know what it is. Jump in the water, and God will show up like never before. And when He does, get on that computer and email me and tell me, hey, Chip, you know something? I jumped in the water, and here's what God did. It would encourage us no end.
Are you a podcast listener? Subscribing to the Living on the Edge podcast just takes a minute, and it's free. Go to livingontheedge.org and click on the Broadcasts tab. Hear Chip and Living on the Edge whenever you want, wherever you want, 24 hours a day. Just go to livingontheedge.org today and click on the Broadcasts tab to subscribe to the Living on the Edge podcast. Well, Monday on Living on the Edge, Chip will continue our current series, Your Divine Design. So be sure to make plans to join us then. For Chip and the entire team, thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.